Good morning. I want everybody a picture of a tennis shoe. We're going to talk about these, okay?
I don't have one. I don't have one.
Here you go. I have one for everybody. You want to pass that down to Briley? Did you get one, Brighton? You want one? Here you go. Now, do you like to help people?
Yes.
Yes. I like to help people too. That's very important. Do you know our church does a lot to help people? United Methodist churches are committed to ministering to local, regional, and global needs. Our local ministry, the things that we help with around here, are our food pantry, the Alwood Elementary School, community meals, and of course, there's many other things. Last week, Kathy talked about United Methodist Church's commitments to help the children through the following programs: Cunningham Children's Home, Chaddock, and Leslie Bates Davis Home. These are regional ministries that United Methodist Churches help too. We're currently doing a ministry here by collecting sturdy new shoes for the children of Romania. This is a global ministry to provide shoes to children that might not have shoes, or they've gotten so they've outgrown their shoes and they don't have any other shoes.
Then you should buy some.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't have money to buy them. So we're going to collect shoes and send over to them, so they don't have to be barefoot. The pictures of the shoes that I gave you, would you take those home with you and color them and then bring them back to church, and we'll hang them in the windows back there. And that will remind us that we're helping these children by providing shoes.
People don't have enough money to go shop and they get money from...
We help them, don't we? Will you say an echo prayer with me?
We give them some more food.
Okay, we're going to pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. We want to do his work as we draw attention to the needs of children in countries less fortunate as we are. If we can provide shoes, what a blessing it will be. Imagine the smiles we will be putting on the children's faces as they receive a new pair of shoes to call their own. And we do this all in your name, Heavenly Father. Amen. Thank you.
Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. Please follow on the screen with me. You have heard it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hall of fire. So, when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and to the judge, to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny.
This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Join me in our prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we're continuing our series this summer in the Sermon on the Mount. And last week we got a challenge from Jesus, didn't we? He challenged some of our assumptions, where the disciples might have thought that Jesus came to abolish the law in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, no, I did not come to abolish the law. He said, I came to what? Fulfill the law. And then later on, he tells the disciples that he said to them this. He said, whoever breaks, he says, for I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, and this is what our focus is for this next 4 weeks, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will never enter the kingdom. See, what Jesus is doing here now in his Sermon on the Mount is, how many of you were in track? I wasn't in track. How many ran track? Okay. Anybody do high jump? Anybody do high jump? Okay. Phyllis did high jump. Or wait. Linda did high jump. Okay. So you'd prepare yourself for the high jump, right? They'd have it set at the beginning level. And you'd mentally prepare yourself. You'd take a deep breath. You'd prep and you'd run, and then you'd do the thing that high jumps over it and try to go over the bar, right? Kind of twist around. And then what did they do after you did that? But when you made that first jump, what would the judges or the referee do after everybody's jumped that bar? They would raise the bar, wouldn't they? Yes. Okay. So even though it says blessed by God, it's actually this portion of our Sermon on the Mount series is called Raising the Bar. Raising the Bar. Jesus is raising the bar. And today, as we heard from when Kathy read from Matthew 5, 21 to 26, Jesus is raising the bar against anger. He's raising the bar. And as you heard from where Kathy read to us today from the scriptures, there's this formula that Jesus uses in this part of his Sermon on the Mount. He says this, look at verse 21 together. You have heard that it was said. That's the first part of the formula. So that's part A to those of ancient times. And then the second part is you've heard it was said, and then he names a commandment that people know. You shall not murder. Now, how many of you heard that commandment? Right? It's from the Ten Commandments, right? The sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Pretty black and white, right? And then he says, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. That means they'll be held accountable. They'll be punished. They'll have to do something to make things right in the community. But he says, but here's the second part of the formula. But I say to you that. So Jesus says, you've heard this commandment, but I say to you that. That's what he's going to do with us the next 4 weeks. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. Now, how many of you have been angry at your brother or sister? That's part of sibling life, right? But if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment, just like murder. And if you insult a brother or sister, now how many of you have insulted your brother or sister? At home? In public? Online? Oof. If you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Now, if you don't have a brother or sister, have you ever called someone a name like you fool or you idiot or you moron or you insert this name? Names we can't say here? We all have, haven't we? So we're all covered here. No one can hide from Jesus' teaching today. If you say, Raca, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that a brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister. And then, second, come and offer your gift. I'm going to pause there. So, Jesus starts off talking about murder. And what do we think when we think of murder? We think of blood and violence, don't we? But where does murder start, really? It starts with an intent to murder someone, right? Or out of passion in the moment, or out of self-defense. But it's a decision that starts in our hearts, doesn't it? There's that saying, you've got to be taught to hate, right? Murder starts in our hearts. And that's the main message of today, is that anger is the first step towards murder. And anger is a way of relationally and spiritually and emotionally murdering someone. When you insult someone, especially if you insult a brother or a sister, someone who you have kinship with, someone who you profess to be loyal to, or that you love them, or maybe they saved your life sometime from a bully. But to insult a brother or sister, not just in your family, but in the church. A spiritual brother or sister. Now, how many of you have had wounds where you've been angry at someone in the church? We can all raise our hands, right? That part of life together in our relationships, conflict becomes inevitable, right? Who in your life do you fight with the most? It's probably, unless it's with your boss, it's probably with people in your family. Because you have the most time together. The boundaries are crossed more often. And we lose our cool and we react, don't we? We don't always respond, but we react. When we get angry, what happens to us? I know some people, when they get angry, it's like the cartoon. It's like, right? Smoke coming out of their ears. Some people, they stew or they yell. I'm a person that just kind of lashes out and yells if I'm not careful. Some people get so angry, they don't talk. Have you ever seen someone like that? You knew they were so mad they couldn't say a word. They were just like shaking with this inner rage. And they're real quiet. That's when I knew a friend of mine was really, really angry. And I knew it was time to be quiet, to go away, to give him space, or to listen to what he had to say. But if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment, the same as murder. Jesus is saying that spiritually, anger is the same as going out and murdering someone. When the deadly sin in the history of the church, have you heard of the seven deadly sins? The sins of pride, envy, greed, or avarice, lust, all these things. You want what you don't have, and you do whatever you can to get it. But the one that leads to where you want to hurt someone is malice. Malice. That's the intent, to hurt someone, to maim someone, to murder someone. To take them down and bring them down to your level. To gossip about them behind their backs when they're not in the room. John Wesley, one of the founders of Methodism, he declared that if you speak about anyone and they're not in the room, that's evil speaking. If you gossip about someone, that's evil speaking. If you spread rumors about someone, that's evil speaking. If you lie about someone, if you bear false witness, remember the Ten Commandments? It doesn't say do not lie. It says do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Because our decisions, the things that come in our hearts and the things that we say and think and do, all affect our relationships, don't they? Even if no one's around, we still have that relationship with God and ourselves, don't we? So this is tough stuff. Jesus is talking tough with us. He says, if you're angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. If you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. So that means that we in the church are to keep one another accountable for what we say and do to one another. And I know that in my ministry here and other places and in my life, some of the most painful conflicts I've ever experienced, where I've either lost my cool afterwards, or people have lost their cool towards me, and we've said things or thought things we shouldn't, or we've held a grudge and got bitter, has been in church ministry or at church meetings or on mission trips even. The first fight I ever got into was at church camp, and the pastor had to pull me off this other kid. The only time I ever got into a fisticuffs fight, and I remember feeling my pastor was so mad at me. But he sat me down and he spoke the truth in love with me. And he told me first, "I've never seen you like that, Zach. We need to pray. And you need to ask God to forgive you. And I'm willing to forgive you. But you need to forgive your friend. You guys were best friends and we're fishing together. And then I caught you fighting over catfish bait. And you had bloody noses." But he led me to forgive and be reconciled with this kid who was my best friend at camp. I'd only met him at camp. So he showed me that way at an early age, that the way out of our anger is through forgiveness. That when we experience bitterness and unforgiveness, it's like a prison. It's like a gulag for our soul. It causes us to be in this box where we're self-deceived and we see our brother and sister and we don't see the image of God in them. We only see what they've done to us. We only see them through their actions. We choose not to see them through who they are. And maybe even the hurt behind those actions. Now, I'm not saying we should be abused. But what I am saying is we need to take courage. When we have the Holy Spirit, when you have Jesus in your heart, when you believe he's your Lord and Savior, and you receive you're baptized in his name, and you are forgiven of your sins, so that you can receive that promise of the Holy Spirit, so that we can forgive others and set them free, just like Jesus did for us, right? Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, amen? That proved God's love for us. You know, I love the way that Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." But it gets even better. It says this. It says, "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us," now hear this, "the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation or peacemaking or healing relationships to us. So, we are ambassadors of Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin. That is, Jesus was made to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might become his righteousness. Our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Amen? Amen. So when we're angry, we need to seek to be reconciled with God. We need to ask God to forgive us for harboring that anger. Step one. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to forgive and to give to God the person who makes us so angry. And we need to ask God to have the strength to forgive that person. And to have courage to not take the low road, but to take the high road. To take that narrow path and follow Jesus. To deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. To deny our urges for vengeance or revenge. The scriptures say in Isaiah that vengeance belongs to the Lord. God is the one who fights our battles. Jesus won the victory for us on the cross. He defeated sin by taking it all upon himself, even becoming sin itself on that cross for us, so that you might become the righteousness of God. Amen? Amen. Paul has some great advice for us in Colossians 3, about what we're to do. He says, so if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And we know that Christ is in heaven interceding for us 24/7 for all eternity. So when we seek Christ up there, we seek to be an intercession, to pray. That's how we fight our battles. We might feel like we're surrounded by our enemies, surrounded by the forces and wickedness of this world, but we're surrounded by God and His Holy Spirit and all His warring angels around us. So we fight our battles through prayer, amen? Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Then he gets up in our business. He says this, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath, that is the anger of God against all sin, the holiness of God turned against all unholiness. The wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. He says it to us straight. He says, these are the ways you once followed when you were living that old life. But now you must get rid of all such things. And you know what the first thing he says on the list is? Anger. Get rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, which is where you talk verbally about someone. Now, libel is when you talk bad about someone in print or on the internet. But get rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Abusive language. Language that tears someone else down or objectifies someone or makes them feel less than or worthless or demeans them. Mars the image of God in them. Get rid of all such abusive language from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, seeing that you've stripped off the old self with its practices and clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Because in that renewal, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. In the kingdom of God, it's not the high school hierarchy anymore. It's a level playing field where everybody gets a chance to worship and enjoy the presence of God when they receive God's grace in Jesus Christ. He says this in verse 12, Colossians 3, as God's chosen ones, that's you and I, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. See, Jesus tells us when we go back to Matthew 5, let's go to Matthew 5, 23. Let's say that together. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Now, he might be talking about a physical prison for them in their culture and their social life. But I think today we can think about it in terms of a spiritual prison. That if we don't let go of that anger, we don't let go of that hurt, it becomes bitterness and it becomes poison to our soul. It separates us from the ones we love that we might be mad at. And it prevents us from peacemaking. It prevents us from being salt and light in this world. Amen? So I want us to give, I want to give you a challenge. Take these words to heart that before you come back to worship this week, before next Sunday, before you bring your gift of worship to the altar, your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, your talent, your witness, remember, if you have a brother or sister that has something against you or you against them, before you leave your gift, go be reconciled. First, be reconciled with God. Ask God to forgive you for holding that anger and ask Him to take it away. Second, ask the Holy Spirit to help you surrender that person up to God. And third, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to forgive that person and to let God hold on to them and to ask God to help you to see them as someone who is also made in the image of God, a fellow brother or sister, someone whom God loves and who Jesus died for. I hope you'll do that so you can have peace. And if you're angry at yourself, today's a great time to ask God to forgive you for being abusive or angry to yourself, to being too hard on yourself, because that's one of my greatest sins. I'm too hard on myself. I can be a perfectionist. I can set too high a standards and fall trying to reach them. But thanks to the prayers and the forgiveness of the people in my life and my family and in this church, God's healing my heart to help me to love myself so I can love my neighbor. And I believe He can do that for you today. So we're going to sing.